I can do that without burning my finger. And then let's read about hope from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. The other night I used Luke 1, verses 1 through 4 as our devotional at our board meeting. And read that. Read and digest those first four verses. Luke is talking about how it's good to draw up an account, and he researched it. It says that he researched it a lot so that his friend Theophilus would know the certainty of the things that he had been taught. This is certain. There's certainty here in these words. That's a good thing to remember at this Christmas time. Starting to read at verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. As you look at your bulletin cover, there is the Hebrew word there. It's transliterated into Emmanuel, but the Hebrew word Emmanuel looks like that. And you read from the right to the left in Hebrew, and it means God with us. God with us. That's a word you hear a lot at Christmas, that word Emmanuel. Especially if you're a Christ follower, it's what Isaiah prophesied would be the name of the one who would come as the deliverer for the people of God. Our text says that Mary was to name this same son a very common name in Israel at the time. In fact, all the way through Israel, Joshua had been a hero of the faith in Judaism, and so Jesus was given the name Yeshua, which can be referred to as Joshua, or when it's made into more of a Greek word, it would mean Jesus, which means God is salvation, because that is indeed what he is. Jesus is salvation. So on this first Sunday of Advent, we look at the hope we have because Jesus came into humanity. In uncertain times, when chaos threatens, we can be encouraged that Jesus is with us. When Mary was troubled by the words of the angel, She took comfort in Emmanuel, in God with us. When we are troubled and even fearful, we need only to remember the reality that Emmanuel is born and he lives. Truly, the Lord is with us. And so that is our hope. Now, Facebook has kind of messed up the Christmas card industry. The other day, my niece posted this. She said, I can't remember who all I send Christmas cards to. Who wants one this year? I didn't raise my hand. It's not that I don't like Christmas cards. I just figure that if I can save a tree or two by not getting as many of them, I should step up and do my part. I can just go online at any given time for the next several weeks and send out my own Christmas greeting. And by the way, we ordered our cards yesterday on whatever it is, Emily, that we use. Yeah, Shutterfly. Yes. Several trees died. We do send cards and letters. But it's true that our ability to say Merry Christmas online has vastly expanded the number of people who receive our greeting across the world. And I do enjoy catching up with those who aren't as computer savvy or maybe simply refuse to be pulled into the online quicksand. And they're the ones that we hear from just once a year or so as we get their newsy Christmas letter. I just received such a letter from our friend June, who has been a dear friend for more than 40 years since she and I were at Navajo Mission together. We touched base from time to time throughout the year by email, but her Christmas letter is always welcome in our family because it helps us to catch up. And her letter this year, as it was for the last couple of years, has been bittersweet. She's doing well, but she misses her husband, who died 2 years ago, right before Christmas. She's retired now, but she keeps busy, and her determination to be Jesus makes June one of my heroes. She's just really amazing. From what I read as I began this talk from Luke 1, verses 26 through 38, Mary, too, received a Christmas greeting some 2,000 years ago. And she didn't. I'm going to get my water, which I left down here. We had this all bolstered. We had this all planned out, my daughters and I, what kind of cough drop I'd have in my mouth as I came up here and all. And Lori, I think the same thing afflicts me as what you suspect afflicts Matt, because Satan doesn't want the word to get out. So, Mary got a Christmas greeting 2,000 years ago, and it wasn't online, of course, but it was special delivery. It was special delivery. The word angel is derived from the Greek for messenger. And the angel Gabriel appeared to her with the word of God himself, and his words were disconcerting, as you might expect. I know how you feel if a heavenly being suddenly appeared to you saying that you're highly favored and that the Lord is with you. Just put yourself in Mary's sandals. But the message is ours. Christ came as a baby to the Virgin Mary, but in reality, he came to all of us. He came as Emmanuel, God with us. That's the promise. And that's reason for great hope. And so I'm going to list some hopes here. We have hope because, first of all, God knows our status. He knows where we are. He knows our situation. Before Gabriel showed up, Mary was just a girl. Not quite sure how old she would have been, probably a teenager. And she wasn't insignificant because she no doubt was cherished by her parents and certainly by the man to whom she was engaged, Joseph, cherished by them. But a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the way women were viewed in first century society. And I pointed out that while a woman was to be loved and cherished in Jewish society, she was still essentially the property of her father. And if she was married then, the property of her husband. She was property. The word that's often been used is chattel. She was property. So this was what Mary was. She was a young lady destined to be what society dictated, the property of her husband. But God knew her. God knew her. And he knew where she lived in Nazareth, which was a rough crossroad town where travelers and freight from Jerusalem and points east and south traveled to the port cities of Tyre and Sidon on the Mediterranean. He knew Mary's name. He knew her personality. And most importantly, God knew Mary to be a willing and obedient servant. In the same way as with Mary, God knows who we are and what we deal with from day to day. He knows where we live. Most of us live in a crossroad between two bigger, more significant cities named Columbus and Cleveland. We live in a crossroad too. He knows our character. God even knows our ambitions and our regrets. He knows us so well, not because he's some kind of cosmic, creepy stalker, but because he loves us. And because of that, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to earth to bring all the hope that comes with eternal life. So he didn't come to this earth to leave us alone. Instead, he sent Jesus to earth in the form of Mary's baby boy in order to meet us right where we are today as we are. So never fear, because we have hope, because God also knows our fears. Mary was troubled by Gabriel's greeting. Wouldn't you be? Just put yourself in Mary's sandals. What would you think? Just one experience like that, and everything would be different, right? Yes, Mary was troubled, and she had good reason to be. By the time Gabriel finished his announcement, Mary was scared, frightened. She had to be. That's what greatly troubled means. She would be carrying God's son in her womb. Now, from our perspective, that might seem exciting. After all, it's quite an honor. But for Mary and even for Joseph, it could mean death. That's what Jewish law dictated as the punishment for the unfaithfulness of a virgin engaged to be married. At the very least, it meant shame for her and her family. It meant certain ruin for her. So God wasn't surprised by Mary's emotions and the predictable reactions of others as they found out about it. As a matter of fact, it did plague her through the years. You can see in some of the Gospels the implications of the religious leaders, what they said about Jesus. They saw him to be illegitimate. So the shame, the reputation followed him. So, what troubles you? What leaves you emotionally wiped out? What makes you question God's timing? Do you feel he's interrupting your life in an inconvenient and an insensitive manner? Because Mary could have felt that. He knows your fears, and because of that, you're not alone. You can count on the fact that he's working things out in a way that you can't see, just as he did by sending an angel to Joseph. Matthew 1, let me read that to you. In Matthew 1, Joseph, it says, I'm going to start reading at verse 18, okay? And then Matthew can pick it up where it comes in on verse 20. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. That's what Joseph chose to do because he was such a good man. And then picking up at verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord also appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So God encouraged Mary by Joseph's response. And then he also encouraged Mary with Elizabeth's response when Mary came to visit her, because we read here that Mary, after she had the Annunciation, after she had the announcement from the angel, left and went to visit her cousin who lived a distance away. And when Mary walked into the house, Elizabeth had a prophecy. It said, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill her promises to her. God knows our fears, and he sends just-in-time encouragements to help us through them. So that's why we have hope, because he knows our purpose. He has a plan for each and every one of us. He had a plan for Mary. The purpose that God had for Mary went like this. It was all laid out. You will become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. You will give birth then to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. You and all will know that he will be great. You and all will know that he will be called the Son of the Most High. You and all will know that the Lord God will give him David's throne, that he would be of the line of David. And you and all will know that he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And you and all will eventually know that his kingdom will never, ever end. The plan was perfect from the get-go. The purpose was obvious. Would it be that simple for us? But then again, really, was it simple in reality? Those eight steps that I just went through are a picture of God's salvation that's available to all who will receive what has been in the process for all human history. God didn't just come up with a quick plan and ram it through Congress, okay? His plan was started from the beginning of time. And God had a purpose for each step of Jesus' life here. Jesus came as a baby. He was baptized. Jesus taught. He sweat drops of blood in Gethsemane. He went to the cross. He rose again. He returned to the Father so that the Holy Spirit would come, and he's coming again. That's the plan. That's the purpose. As we read on into the next chapter, chapter 2 of Luke, as the Christmas story progresses, we see that everything is being directed by the hand of God. Caesar unwittingly becomes an instrument of God by commanding Joseph and Mary's and everybody else's presence in the town of their ancestry. And so that meant that Mary and Joseph had to go back to Bethlehem for the census. And this fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy regarding the place of the Messiah's birth. It all fit into God's perfect purpose. God obviously knew then and still knows what he's doing. Isaiah said that his ways are not our ways, but he desires our ways to follow his ways. Mary did that, and we can too. So really, why do we question what God is doing in and through our lives? Even if we don't understand it, why do we question? Mary would tell you that God knows what he's doing and needs faithful servants to carry out his purposes regardless of how much it deeply troubles us. But just in case, we have hope because God knows our doubts, even when we have doubts. Think about the doubts that Mary and Joseph legitimately would have carried when hearing all of this from Gabriel. As we know, Mary was a virgin. How was she physically going to be with child? I've already pointed out that could have fatal ramifications because people wouldn't read it that way. Not to mention the damage to reputation that would plague the family for life, as it did. Mary was too young and too inexperienced to be the son of God's earthly mother. There, she certainly had doubts about that. Truthfully, is anyone ready to be the mother of God? And Mary was literally just a girl. And this literally wasn't in their plans. They had far different plans that included a wedding. A wedding would be nice, right? And then having babies after the wedding in a timely fashion. Mary and Joseph were good people. They did things right, and they did it in the right order. They had a right to wonder what was going on. So what doubts do you have today? Do you doubt God's plan? Do you doubt your future serving him? Do you have doubts about tomorrow? He's ready to hear what they are. He's not afraid of it. He already knows what they are, but when you voice them, it helps you to clarify in your own mind what those doubts are. God's not afraid of your doubts, so tell him. This will be a confidence builder. And remember, we have hope because God can do the impossible. Mary was ready for the impossible. To be a virgin and give birth to God's son, Jesus, that was impossible. People struggle with this fact. They doubt it, as a matter of fact. They say, how can a virgin have a baby? But can the Creator not intervene in his own creation to bring about his own purposes? The virgin birth is just one of the powerful facts in Christian belief that demonstrate God's impossible, miraculous power. If the virgin birth didn't take place, as some people say, then there's no perfect Savior. There's no forgiveness of sin. There's no possibility of living a holy life. Without the virgin birth, there's no eternity in heaven, because it means that all kinds of other things aren't true or possible. God is a God of impossibility. After all, do we mean what we say when we sing, "What a mighty God we serve"? I mean, or are we just mouthing the words? So as we wrap this up, let me ask some questions. What's impossible in your life today? God is a God of the impossible. The angel said, God can do whatever he wants. Can you get yourself to the position of Mary's willing heart, even though God's ways of doing things are not making sense at the moment? Are you able to respond, I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Are you placing your hope in yourself, or are you placing your hope in God? If it's the former, you have reason for doubt and fear. But if you place your hope in the living God, you can have assurance that he will never leave you or forsake you. That's a promise that Jesus actually laid out right after he gave the Great Commission. Gabriel may have left Mary when his message was complete, but because of her son who was born, God has never left us. Emmanuel, the Lord, is with us. He didn't just come to Mary or a choice few. He came for all who would believe. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. And remember that the prayer circle is available for anybody who would like to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these promises. Your promises are true. You are the God of impossibility. You, Jeremiah said, there is nothing too difficult for you. You are able to come into history and into creation and change things as you desire. So, Lord, I thank you for the hope that we have, the hope that lies within us, for the peace that we have that passes all understanding. We bless your name. Amen.
Breathe on me, breath of God, breathe on me. Breathe on me, breath of God, breathe on me. I come alive, I'm alive when you breathe on me. I come alive, I'm alive when you breathe on me. Awake, awake, awake my soul. God, resurrect these bones from death to life for you alone. Awake my soul. Speak to me, word of God, speak to me. Speak to me, word of God, speak to me. I come alive, I'm alive when you speak to me. I come alive, I'm alive when you speak to me. Awake, awake, awake my soul. God, resurrect these Breathe on me. Breathe on me, breath of God. Breathe on me.
No word from God will ever fail. Amen. So make your response. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Let's go in hope. Amen.